The following program brought to you by Comprehensive Financial Consultants and CFCI, which is solely responsible for its content. Securities are offered through J.W. Cole Financial, member FINRA and SIPC. Investment advice offered through CFCI and J.W. Cole Advisors. J.W. Cole Financial, J.W. Cole Advisors, and CFCI are unaffiliated entities. The opinions expressed by the members of CFCI and their guests should not be construed as specific investment, legal, or tax advice. All economic and performance information is historical and not indicative of future results. Investing may involve the risk of loss of principal, and any tax advice on the show is not intended to be used by any persons for the purpose of avoiding U.S. federal or state tax. Penalties that may be imposed on such persons and each listener should seek advice from their tax advisor or legal counsel on topics that arise from the show. The representatives of CFCI and their guests are not providing legal or tax advice, and nothing should be construed as a solicitation to offer or buy securities. Now enjoy the show.
Hey everyone, welcome to the big show, Your Money with David Hayes. Jim Inman Jr. is sitting in with me. Post eclipse experience on Monday when the town practically shut down for people to hang out at their homes.
You won the bet. I owe you a dollar.
Yeah, I wasn't going to rub it in on anybody, but you know, I was talking about this with someone today. You know, so people are so easily influenced by buzz, and it can be political, it can be socially, it can be experience. Like, for instance, the Taylor Swift concert, right, coming up in September of this year, November of this year, I can't remember.
Yeah.
We had some tickets for it. You know, and we were watching people in Cincinnati hang outside, the crowds. That's not going to happen in Indy. And I'll tell you why. One, I think the buzz will start to calm down a little bit. Morgan Wallen's showing big numbers, maybe going to overtake Taylor at some point. We're in a dome, not an outdoor stadium. You know, I don't know. I mean, but I thought about this. I'm like, okay, and I said it here on the air. I've said it. The Indianapolis 500 draws 250,000, 300,000 people every single year in about a four-block radius, and they handle it just fine. I go about every year. It takes me 2 extra hours to get there, 2 extra hours to get home. That's about it. I'm not taking snacks. I'm not taking extra 5 gallons of gas. And I'm like, and I looked at this thing, I mean, just practical, and thought, you have all kinds of areas to watch this thing. You don't have to all go to the Jiffy Treat in Ellisville.
Mm-hmm.
If you come to Monroe County, fine. If you go to Lawrence County, fine. Whatever. Is your experience going to be that much different in Jiffy Treat than it was with me on Lake Lemon? So on Lake Lemon, you know, I didn't know what to expect, but I was expecting maybe more action than we saw. There
right.
wasn't even a backup at the ramp to put boats in. Not a single backup.
Yeah.
The porthole was completely empty most of the weekend. The beaches had some people on there. It looked like a nice summer day, throwing the football around, which was really enjoyable to see. There were a good number of tents on Riddle Point. Again, not over-the-top crazy. And the boats on the lake were modest to low. I mean, 4th of July was probably 10 times busier than we were on Monday. But with that aside, the eclipse was freaking cool.
My neighbor lives about 4 houses down from me, and he set up one of those time-lapse cameras to catch everything, and didn't know that he was doing it. I had about 20 of the neighbors over and pitch in and whatnot, and so he posted the video to our Facebook neighborhood group the next day, and he's like, my favorite part is Jim Inman getting excited when the eclipse happens, and you can hear me in the distance going,
"Yay!
It's here!" So it was, though. I mean, it was like something you would expect to see in a movie, but it was 110% natural. It was
cool.
Just beautiful.
Yeah, it was cool. I mean, we enjoyed it. We all clapped and cheered as
yep.
well, and you could hear people around the lake cheering. And then, you know, then you could take your glasses off and look mm-hmm. up at it and enjoy it. We saw a bald eagle on Lake Lemon that day. It was a great day. We saw tons of geese. There's lots of geese out there. And, you know, when it all went dark, about 30 seconds later, you heard them doing their honking.
Mm-hmm.
And there's the little, they call it Cemetery Island, although there's no cemeteries on it. It's right across from North Tunnel Road towards the dam. There's two little islands out there.
Okay.
And all of a sudden, the geese kind of congregate, and you see them walking up on the island. Like that was,
wow.
they were going to go roost or whatever they
huh.
do. And then about 10 minutes later, here they all come back out. You know, so that, for me, was pretty cool. But when you look at the next time we'll have a chance to see it even close would be like in 2054
something like that yeah
2000
I mean, it's not
know.
Next week, that's for sure.
No, I did the math on that. Chances of old Dave being here on the radio was pretty oh, darn slim.
Come on now.
If I am, it'll be kind of in a really weird state. Someone please, you know, I have clients tell me this all the time. If I start saying things you know, if I start acting a certain way or doing things a certain way, will you please tell me? I'm like, sure, I'll tell you, but I'm not sure it's going to matter to you at that moment when I say, hey, man, this is going on. It's funny, we had a meeting today. A client was in, been a client for probably 25 years, and known him longer than that. Knew him as when I was a kid. In fact, their kids were, he and I played the tuba together at Bachelor Middle School, so that was kind of cool. And but mom passed away, and dad was in there. And I'm like, do we have him listed as a trusted contact? Do we have her listed? Because we need trusted contacts, which means we have the ability to say, hey, dad was in today. Mm-hmm. We didn't think things were quite right. He was asking for this, you know, doing this, looked like that. And usually when we've had to make those calls, they're usually like, yeah, I know. Thanks for calling me. But it's important from this perspective, folks, to have a trusted contact. So if something does go kind of wrong, your financial people have someone to call because we've known you a long time. Not in every case, but most cases, it's years and years and years. So we know what your habits are. We know what you normally act like, what you don't act like. So it's something important to have. That's kind of off subject, but it kind of popped in my mind since that just happened today.
And it's actually part of today's show, talking to your family members about your finances and whatnot. So it actually fits right in with what we're going to talk about in just a little bit.
NCAA brackets. My wife and Ryan were down to the end with Purdue. If Purdue won, Misty won. If UConn won, of course, UConn did win. So Ryan took the belt, and he made me aware of this. He's been handling our office pool forever, and this is the first time he's ever won, so congratulations to him. Somehow Misty ended up third. I'm not sure how that happened, but she gracefully accepted the Venmo from Ryan, I think, today. Of course, we had a, you know, it's kind of funny. We have really two short weeks in a row. We had, you know.
Good Friday.
And then, boom, we had, Easter Sunday. And then we had the eclipse Monday. We'll see. I know we were closed from noon on that day. A lot of stuff going on. We did a quarterly update. I don't know who that went out to, our quarterly update.
Clients and prospects got it in an email, and then I posted it today to our Facebook page and our LinkedIn. So it's out
there. So let's define what a prospect means. Someone who's contacted us or we've run across paths at some point.
Yep.
You go in our system as a prospect. Whether you're a prospect or not, we have to label you somehow. Mm-hmm. So you go in as that, and then essentially we blow this quarterly commentary out. We give an update on first quarter, looking ahead at second quarter and the rest of the year. So hopefully folks enjoy that. It's about 8 minutes long. We try to keep it short. It's hard when you have a lot to cover, kind of like in the radio show. But we try to be, quick, because who wants to watch a video that's, 45 minutes long?
There's people out there.
There are people out there. Just like,
People who chase eclipses, David.
there is. Of course, last week we had the Q&A show. And, Jimmy, you wanted to say something about that.
Well, we talked last week about the price of gold, and I just thought it was kind of interesting. Costco, we don't have one local, but there's some up in Indianapolis. Costco is making $100 to $200 million a month by selling gold bars. They sell them for around $2,200, $2,300, depending on what the going rate is and everything. So if you want an actual piece of gold, and they look like they're about the size of a deck of cards. They come in a sealed package or whatnot. And the article that I saw on USA Today, they were in a glass case under lock and key and everything, and they only had one in the case for display. But you can go buy a block of gold if you want to go buy your rotisserie chicken, your lawn furniture, and a couple sweatshirts. I mean, how cool
aids.
Is that?
And hearing aids.
Yes.
And probably anything else. Like, I love Costco. I wish we had one here.
I do.
I like Sam's Club, but Costco's, I think, a little cooler. All right. We've had a lot going on this week. We're going to talk about that when we come back. Of course, April, if you didn't know that, folks, is Social Security Month, which is pretty cool because back in February, we had Jolene Dixon on from the local Social Security office. And next week, Jimmy, we have Mary Beth Franklin, who really is known as the country's guru when it came to Social Security claiming strategy. She is now officially retired from Investment News. She retired first from Kiplinger, which is where I met her. And now she's just kind of a freelance person out there doing her own thing.
Good for her. That's awesome. And still involved in the industry and everything.
So, she is.
Excited to have her on next
week. She is. Yeah, I'm looking forward to catching up as well. So let's take a quick break. When we come back, we'll give you a little review of what happened last week and some of the numbers that came out this week and what the market's been doing in response to it. We'll be right back. It's Your Money with David Hayes. All right, welcome back, everyone. It's Your Money with David Hayes. Happy April to all of you. Taxes are due right around the corner. If you are not ready like me, you can file an extension, an automatic extension. Just make sure you pay in what you think you owe, or 110% of what you paid in last year, or you owed last year, and you'll be able to scoot on without a penalty. Then you have all the way until October 15th for you procrastinators. Now listen, I'm not taking full blame for my procrastination. I have a CPA involved. I've got multiple LLCs involved. I have a couple partners here and there. So I'm going to blame everybody else, not me, for not getting our stuff together. I have people, right, to get my stuff together. My wife is one. I'm always like, hey, where's the envelope? Everyone has the envelope, right, at home where you stick all your tax stuff.
Yes.
Right, the envelope. Yep, yeah, so true. She has the envelope at home. So we'll be digging that guy out, I'm hoping, sometime soon. But no, I'm on extension. I take care of getting everyone else done. We have tax prep people all around this great county, but counties, and we work with a lot of them. So they're working hard. They're working hard. So when you email them, where's my taxes? You don't get an immediate response. Trust me, they are working day and night to try to accommodate and get everyone done, as many people done on time. So just, give them a little bit of a break. And I know some people are like, well, I got my stuff to them the 1st of March. Well, so did a lot of other people. And sometimes, I will say this, from the CPAs that I know, tax people that I know, a lot of times it's easier for them to knock out a bunch of the easy ones first. So if you have other things going on, like maybe you sold some real estate, maybe you had a lot of transactions when it came to stocks or bonds, maybe you inherited something, who knows? I mean, they might be pushing you off to the end where they're going to have to really dig in. And I get that. If I could knock 10 of these out in the next 2 hours, and this one's going to take me 2 hours, I'd rather have 10 really happy people and one person a little bit anxious at me, and I'll just send them a nice little email and let them know. Be patient. All right. So last week, stocks have been a little more volatile lately, which is normal, actually. But stocks did drop last week as the focus on what's next for interest rates and some mixed comments from some Fed officials came out as well. This is not news to anybody that's been listening to the show. Stocks did struggle out of the gate again last week, ending Monday and Tuesday in the red on concerns that recent economic data could derail the Fed's plans for short-term rates. Duh, we've been talking about this from our opinion. I was with a client today before we did the show, and they were like, I said, can you believe going into the year that there was an expectation of maybe 6 rate cuts? And he's like, who thought that? And I go, I don't know. I said, I think there's enough, just like the eclipse, enough people that got buzzing around this hopeful thing. I'm not sure if we were hopeful 300,000 people came to Bloomington or not, but there was this buzz. And the buzz gets bigger and louder, and more people start believing it. And then that becomes the expectations. I never expected that. But obviously, enough people have expected it to drive prices up. But nonetheless, it didn't happen and isn't going to happen. And now we have Fed people coming out saying, well, I don't know about this. We had 4 different Fed chair people come out, or governors come out and say, well, maybe 1 rate cut, maybe no rate cuts. They had one that even came out and said, well, maybe a one increase. So this has created volatility in the market. Jobless claims were better than expected. Stocks fell broadly on Thursday after mixed comments from multiple Fed officials, like I said. On Friday, a strong jobs report kind of gave us some much-needed confidence. The U.S. economy created over 300,000 jobs in March, higher than expectations. Unemployment dropped a little bit to 3.8%. Markets rallied after the news, but not enough to recoup the losses. Now, let's talk about unemployment. There's a lot of midline people, not top management, kind of middle management that's been laid off all around the country. We had people here in Bloomington, right? Some companies here that laid off a lot of people or gave them early outs to get them moved along. Middle management. What are the jobs that are available? Well, tons of jobs in construction, in production of different products out there. My son was offered a job on the cuff, although he starts a new job on Monday, and I'll tell you a little bit more about that if you're looking for a nice Subaru. And they are, I think, sponsors on the radio station. Is Royal a sponsor? If not, I'll get them as a sponsor. So forgive me, Brad. Forgive me, Kent. Craig. You know, they're like, quit mentioning people who don't sponsor on the radio.
Yeah.
All right. Anyway, he starts some Monday. He's going to be selling Subarus at Royal on the East Side. I'm pretty excited for him. So is he. But knowing that he kind of has a construction sort of desire as well, a person doing some work at our house, we're like, hey, I'll hire you right now, $22 an hour. you know, and some of that's going to be running back and forth to Black Lumber to pick up stuff. And I know they sponsor the show on the station, so I feel comfortable mentioning Black. But nonetheless, I mean, there's a ton of those kind of jobs. So when you see unemployment tick down to 3.8%, you got to sort of put a little more microscope on that and say, okay, who's really, you know, getting the jobs, who's losing the jobs, and that's all been baked into some of these numbers. The 10-year Treasury, you know, continues to kind of hang in there around 4.4%. But we had a flurry of data come out this week. CPI came out this week. Again, jobless claims on Thursday. The producer price index that came out today on Thursday, this morning. And, you know, the market, it was kind of interesting this morning. I was listening to it around 7:30. And, you know, there's always this pre-market trading, whatever that even means. Because it doesn't mean anything to you guys listening. It's just kind of what the trends are pre-market. And that's institution, institution. Hey, Jim, why don't you take some of my Apple? Okay, Jimmy, I'll pay you this. Well, that's kind of the aftermarket trading. Maybe it's not that simple, but kind of that simple. Then the real market opens up. And then the market kind of took off, and then it came back here on Thursday. So the market is very unsure about where we are going. The issue isn't necessarily that people are spending money. They are. Credit card debt's high. It is. A lot of people are sitting back hoping their student loans get erased. I don't know if that'll happen or not, or even that it has any real impact, because that was a big talk for a while. Oh my gosh, people are going to have to start paying their student loans back, and that's going to be a huge drag on consumers. Well, it happened, and it didn't happen, right? We had a great Christmas season. So just kind of stick to fundamentals, keep doing what you can do and can control, and don't worry so much about how things are trending when it comes to interest rates, the Fed, consumers, and all of that, because at the end of the day, what are you going to do about it? Right? You're going to continue to save. You're going to try to get yourself completely out of debt before you retire. You want to make sure you just are smart as you can be with your resources that you've been given, and do the best you can. So we have this these flurry of comments that came out from Fed officials after their blackout period ended, and that's the way it is. So Friday we'll see how consumers are feeling, and I can tell you we're in an election year, and people are very dug in on both sides of the aisle, and that's the way election years normally go. So I wouldn't sweat things too much. Just keep doing what you're doing. And Jimmy, it is Social Security Awareness Month, so I know there's a ton there that you've put together for the show. And again, next week Mary Beth Franklin's on, so we'll probably leave some real heavy lifting stuff for her. But I will say this, that there were two things I wanted to bring up on today's program, being that it is tax season, and it's not in kind of our outline of sort, so to speak. But one is, you know, as you're preparing your taxes, more and more people are caring for aging parents. And when does it make sense to claim your parents on your taxes? So when we come back, I may filter that in at some point. And then also an unbelievable amount of people recently have been retiring who own their company stock and their plans, their 401k plans, and they don't know what to do with it when they retire. And some of them are making huge mistakes. So this is something I've talked a lot about in the past, but haven't talked a lot about recently. But with this flurry of people who I've seen who own their company stock in their plan, and they're like, what do I do with this? How do I not make a mistake with it? When we come back, I may filter some of that in, as well as all the other stuff we have when it comes to April being Social Security Month. All right, we'll be right back. It's Your Money with David Hayes. Welcome back, everyone. Isn't every month a month of some kind?
It is.
Isn't every month, like January is a month? I know we have Life Insurance Awareness Month. We have Estate Planning Month. We have, obviously, April Social Security Awareness Month.
I wish I'd paid attention a couple days ahead. Today is actual National Pet Day as well, so I should have reached out to the staff and said, send me pictures of your favorite dog, cat,
that would horse, or whatever.
And we would have put, I know. I dropped the ball on that one.
There are probably 10,000 pictures on my wife's phone, and there has to be 6,000 or 7,000 of our dogs.
I get that.
Yeah,
I get it. It makes absolute perfect sense, so... Yeah.
Well, they don't talk back. They do bark back a little bit. They don't always mind.
The only thing that has always gotten me is I pick them up at daycare twice a week, and you know, normally you see these videos of people and the dogs come running like, I've never seen you in umpteen years and so glad. Mine could care less. Mine just like walk up and sniff and like, we're ready to go back in. We don't care. We're staying here all day. But anyway.
I know. I get it. We've got three of them at home from the age of almost 19 all the way down to 5 months old. And our
that's
middle
spread.
One, yeah, and our 2020 dog, Ruger, he is 4 and some change, and you know, 4 years old to about, you know, four is when they really start getting good. I mean, where they're not a puppy anymore, they listen real well, but man, the puppy is a wild, wild cat, and it's our first female dog we've had since a Shih Tzu, and there's not a dainty thing about her. I mean, there's not a dainty thing about her.
Oh, goodness.
All right, Jimmy, but you'd put this together for me because I was out of commission on Wednesday, and here we are.
Well, kind of, this is actually some of the things that we talked about with Jolene a little bit, just kind of a highlighting of the basics of Social Security. You know, so many people I know come in and talk with you, Wayne, Ryan, Doug, everybody about Social Security benefits, when they should retire, or I shouldn't say when should they access their benefits, keep working in retirement, and all of those kinds of things. So it's kind of just going through those basic things that people ask about whenever they're putting Social Security into their income plan.
Yeah, and I think leaving some real heavy stuff for Mary Beth next week, like if you're divorced, if you've been married, you know, 10 years or more and divorced, if you are widowed, what if you were married and then the person you were married to after you divorced died? What if you have dependent children and you're of Social Security age? What are opportunities there, especially if you maybe have a younger spouse? There's so many different things to consider that actually affect more people than you think. So I've always thought, you know, let's talk about the things that are more broad in nature. That's what we're talking about today. And maybe leave some real specific stuff because, you know, you might hear something. Well, that doesn't really matter to me. I just kind of drive down the road, listen to the show, hoping to hear that thing he was talking about when it comes to an aging parent, right? May only affect a few people. Stock in a qualified plan, maybe only a few people. But Jimmy, yeah, there's just some real basics that it is good for people to know.
Well, and a lot of this also, we also have on our website as well, cfci.us. So you can go check out some of these articles and everything. But, you know, some basics on Social Security, when you're eligible, FRA and delay credits, inflation adjustments. You want to talk a little bit about what that actually means, David?
Sure. So, you know, it's funny when you talk to Social Security people, it's like FRA. They're like everyone else. Use a lot of acronyms. We're just as bad. You know, I'll say IRA, RMD, QCDs, you know, you name it. I just go on NUA. And you're like, what is all that? So, yeah, sometimes we have to back up and say, that means this, that means that. So FRA gets thrown around a lot. That's your full retirement age. So if you're born in 60 or after age 67. And if you're born before 1960, then it's going to be like 66 and so many months. For every 1 month you back up, it's 2 months. So if I was born in 1958, like December, I'm sorry, 59, and I was born in like December, then my full retirement age is 66 and 10 months. So it's pretty simple, honestly. So that's full retirement. And then that's where you get all of your benefit with no reduction. You still can take it to 62. It's about a 30% reduction if you take it, permanent reduction. I can do the math for you on that. Are you single, healthy, unhealthy, married, single, whatever. Those are so many attributes or things that go into determining whether you should or shouldn't take it. So we can't just blankly say you should always do this or you should always do that. Every situation is different. A lot of common situations where I can say, yeah, generally, if you're married, then one should delay, one should take it. So, you know, we can get into that maybe more with Mary Beth next week. But that's full retirement age. And then you have inflation adjustments. That's super simple. Every year they say, you know, did we have inflation? And if we did, here's the increase. So typically and traditionally, the average has been 2.2%. But the last few years we've had some whopper increases. Now, folks would say, well, where'd all that money go? That's a good question. Well, your Medicare premiums went up as well, a whopping amount. And other things that you buy at the grocery store went up a whopping amount. So I can tell you where it goes, but that's the purpose of that. And that happens every year, whether you took the money at full retirement age or you took it early. Delay credits, that's an interesting one because, you know, I'm 67. That's my full retirement age. I wait to 68, 69, even 70. Every year I wait, they're going to give me 8% more. Plus the inflation bump. So if I wait till 68 and we had 3% inflation, I'll get an 11% raise. Boom. And I wait till next year, and the next year I could get 30 to 40% more money by waiting. Why would I do that? Well, the average life expectancy in the Hayes family for men is not real good. So you're like, well, why would you not take it, Dave, if you never had a male live past, you know, 76 or 77, which is, by the way, my dad's age right now. Every other male, I mean, uncles, great balls, my great-granddad, no one lived past like 71. So we're like, why? Well, because in my dad's case, we delayed to 70, and it wasn't because he worried about dying early. Yeah, that's the family benefit. So if my dad happened to die, you know, at age 80, then my stepmother, Jeannie, who's younger than him, by the way, would get this larger benefit in her entire lifetime. So you have to think about it as a family number, not just your number. So those are the delay credits. The other thing I'll say is that those came on in like 1984, when interest mm-hmm. rates were like 12, 13, 14%. And they were trying to figure out a way to keep people from taking it at 62. Back then, you would take it at 65 was full retirement for everybody, but you could take it at 62. Why not take it at 62? I could invest it in treasuries making 12, 13, 14%, let it sit there. And then when I was ready to take it, I had this big pile of money. Why would you not do that? Well, then we went through this 30-year decline in rates, almost going to zero, but that 8% never changed. So it became the best deal going. Well, now interest rates are kind of creeping back up. Longer-term rates are around 4, 4.5. So it's still a good deal. 8% is still a good deal. It's better than 4, but it did lose a little bit of its luster. So you have to take in consideration a lot of things when determining when you should take it. Should I use delay credits? Should I not? And there's more, so much to it, Jimmy, that it's hard to. It's more. I was thinking about this coming in today. This show is not here to solve all the answers to all your questions. It's to bring up questions. It's like to bring up questions in my mind. Oh, my gosh, I didn't think about that. And then to reach out to someone who knows about this stuff and can help you make a good decision.
Yep, you're exactly right. You know, also with all of this, the taxation of Social Security, that's always a question I know that you guys get because it's looking at your income, of what you've got, the limits about that. So we talked about that and so on.
Did I say that correctly when I was talking about the 66 and 10 months.
10 months?
Yeah, it's every year. Mm-hmm. I don't know if I said that correctly, but if I was born in 1960 or after 67, mm-hmm. if I was born in 59, you'd take 2 months off. 58.
That's what you
two
said.
More. Okay, I want to make sure because sometimes I am thinking stuff, it comes out wrong, and then I don't know it came out wrong until I hear the replay, which I rarely listen to.
Well, with all of this, of course, you know, if you have questions about Social Security, and especially with Mary Beth Franklin coming in next week to be on
email
the show, email us, cfci.us, click on the Contact Us button. It comes right to me. I'll get it to David or whomever is the best fit in the office to get the question answered for you right away, and then we may use that next week on the program or an upcoming Q&A show as well.
Something else people get confused a lot about, I see this on your outline, is the difference between taxation of Social Security and the penalty for earnings on when you're taking Social Security. So mm-hmm. keep this in mind, folks. Once you hit full retirement age, you can earn whatever you want. I could go, you know, work anywhere, make whatever, and my Social Security is not affected. But if I'm not full retirement age and I am working, then there are earnings limitations, which means that once I earn over a certain amount of money, I forget what the number is, around 18, 19, 20 grand, something like that, then Social Security will start holding back a dollar for every two you make over that and another dollar for every three you make over another number. So that's just earnings limitations. It doesn't mean, you know, it doesn't mean about taxes. So the other thing about those dollars they hold back, those dollars get delay credits. So if you're not getting them because they held them, it's not like you won't get it back in some way, shape, or form down the road. They've held it back. They'll release it with the earnings, with the delay credits down the road. Taxation is different. Most of the time, you're going to pay tax on about 85% of your benefit. Now, are there situations where people pay less? Yes. But the way they calculate that is they take all of your income, which is all of your income. That is your interest and dividends, IRA distributions, even tax-free interest on bonds, all of that, plus half of your Social Security to then come up with what they call a modified adjusted gross income or provisional income, a lot of different words for it. And then they say, okay, is it over this number? Is it over 25,000? Is it over 44,000? Is it whatever the number threshold is? And then that much of your Social Security, 50% or 85% is taxable. So most people living a reasonable lifestyle today who hasn't just completely crammed money into Roth the last 20 years is probably paying taxes on Social Security. Now, again, that's 85% of your benefit is subject to tax. It's not 85% tax. I had that question at a Social Security workshop once. Are you telling me that my tax on my Social Security is 85%? I'm like, no. 85% of your benefit is subject to federal tax. That's it. nothing is subject to state tax. So it's a pretty good benefit to delay because, number one, what a great benefit if I'm only paying 85% of it in tax, none of it state, inflation adjusted, and I, by the way, got an 8% delay credit while I hung out and waited to take the benefit.
Okay. I think we covered all of that at the moment. But again, Mary Beth, next week, get into some more of the meatier subjects of Social Security.
All right, when we get back, let me answer that claiming parents thing and the stock thing, and we'll go from there. I'll be right back. Man, Jimmy, you got a lot here to cover.
You know,
I was out of commission on Wednesday. Jimmy took the reins, which I greatly appreciate. I texted him last night and said, hey, you know, I didn't have time to get the outline together, and he's like, I got you covered. I'm like, okay. So I show up today to the office completely covered up, and before we come to do the show, I hadn't even looked at the outline. He said, is this called winging it? And I go, oh, yeah, it's called winging it.
We're making it through, and it's all stuff we can help.
Absolutely.
So, yes.
We're going to take a quickie. We'll be back. It's Your Money with David Hayes. All right, a quick shout out to Lance Like and the Like All Group. Give yourself and your family that peace of mind that comes with proper estate planning. Call Lance at the Like Law Group, 812-323-8300. Heard some new commercials from Lance this week on the station. Sound really good. But no, seriously, go do it, because I'm dealing with this every day, you know, where people come in with outdated forms. What does that mean? Well, it means that, you know, you have people in there that don't even live anymore. Or maybe you still have guardianships for kids in their 30s. Or maybe you have a POA, a power of attorney, that doesn't properly identify statutes that you need in there to cover retirement accounts. All that is true. So if you haven't updated probably since maybe 18, I'd probably jump into your attorney's office and give Lance a call. Again, 812-323-8300. And if you're wanting to declutter or, you know, maybe buy something, go to KennyBlandAuctions.com. Again, my golf cart should be for sale there soon. Oh, my goodness. I don't even care what it sells for. I'm just having fun promoting it. I'm glad it's gone as well. But Kenny Bland Auctions, they are your full service auction service. They offer the pre-planning the sale of your estate or real estate. What a better way to find out who the buyers are than to put your real estate out there for sale at an auction. It'll pull them out because people that are really interested will show up. So visit them online at KennyBlandAuctions.com. Jimmy, before we started getting into the meat of the show,
yeah,
mentioned a couple things. You know, we all think about claiming our kids and all that kind of stuff. I don't claim my son any longer, even though I definitely pay for more than half of his support. It was just more beneficial for him to take the standard deduction than for me to claim him. And that could be the case in your situation as well. Again, the key is you must support them at least halfway. There also are some income requirements when it comes to claiming an elderly parent as a dependent. How many people have their folks living with them? Maybe mom's living with them, dad's living with them, and you know, maybe they just have a pension and some Social Security. Well, you could probably claim them. There's some gross income things that you have to take in consideration. Social Security doesn't really count, but there are some of that, so you may want to check that before you do it. But here's the thing. Do you pay for half their stuff? And keep in mind, to get their expenses up, you might want to have some sort of a care agreement in place where they pay you a certain amount of money every month because you provide this, and you provide that, and you provide this. So that could help reduce their assets for a future Medicaid eligibility. I mean, there's just so many reasons that you might want to consider. But you know, here's the bottom line. You must provide more than half of a parent's support during the tax year in order to claim them as a dependent. The amount of support you provide must also exceed the parent's income by at least $1. So that's the number one determining factor. So it makes sense to consider claiming your parents. You can even claim unrelated people. And if they're disabled or somewhat incapacitated, a parent, you might get a dependent tax credit for that as well. So these are situations where I'm like, you know, you may want to jump off of your TurboTax or tax cut software and find someone who does this every day. They might find a few tax credits or deductions that you didn't know about if you have your folks, or maybe even an unrelated person living with you that you're providing a bunch of support for. The other thing I wanted to bring up that has just been hitting my conference room a lot lately are folks that have company stock inside of their 401k plans and how to handle that, especially when you look at some of the companies around. You know, we've had Baxter that just sold to a new place, so people have Baxter stock. You have Eli Lilly people. You have Cummins people. You have some old GE people still laying around with their stock and their plans that they never did anything with. Well, don't forget the little known rule that needs to be talked about probably more than I do talk about it, called net unrealized appreciation. How does it work? Well, let's go back to the company that you worked for, and maybe you've accumulated a bunch of their stock. Well, there's actually a cost basis in there, and it's right on your statement. It'll say, what is the cost of the stock? It might be $30 a share, $50 a share, and let's say the current value is $200 a share. Well, the way you handle it, you have to do a 100% rollover. All of it has to come out of the plan. But the stock, you ask it to be distributed from the plan, and most custodians are now pretty up to speed on what NUA, net unrealized appreciation, is, and they'll distribute it out. And it comes out to you, you stick it in an individual account. The cool thing is you only pay the tax on the cost. I pay it on that $30, $50, whatever the cost is per share. Then when I sell it, it's treated as capital gains, long-term capital gains, because you've held it longer than a year. And the other part is, if you've been putting money into the Roth 401k, it's a good chance that a good chunk of what you have is in Roth. Just had this happen with a pretty big, well-known company. They had about 30% of their company stock was in the Roth 401k. Well, golly gee willikers, when that book came out, they paid the cost base tax on the cost basis, but guess what? It's all in the Roth. So their distributions will be completely tax-free. Do not mess that up. How would you mess it up? Selling the stock in the plan before you made the transfer. Transfer it all into your IRA. Then it's over. You must do a 100% distribution. Have the stock distributed, not as a rollover, but distributed to you as a taxable event. That's the way to handle net unrealized appreciation. You can mess it up, screw it up, and really end up missing out on probably one of the best opportunities when it comes to company stock inside of a plan.
Boom.
Jimmy, bang.
All right. Well, shifting gears a little bit, one of the topics that I had on the agenda here was talking with your kids and your family about money. Very broad topic here. But this kind of came yesterday. I was up front. Carolyn is on vacation this week, so fielding phone calls about different things and whatnot. Kind of got understood a situation where we had a client who had gone through some unexpected medical procedures recently, was sidelined, wasn't able to pay their bills, their utilities, banking matters, all those kinds of things. And nobody really knew where the information was to help out with this situation. So then it kind of blew up in my mind of thinking, you know, there's all kinds of things to talk about with your kids, with your family. Some people want to do this over vacation and sitting down kind of thing on the boat. And this really needs to be a focused decision, or a focused conversation rather, and share this information. So I brought all of this up just to kind of highlight some things to think about. If you're going to have that family reunion or get together or whatever, to have the conversation with your loved ones. Maybe it's not your kids. Maybe it's a trusted family friend or something like that. Maybe it's your power of attorney that's somebody else. But talk about the things, simple things of paying your bills. So many people pay online anymore and have their username and password. It may already default to it on their laptop or their tablet or whatever. But if you suddenly are in the hospital for 3 weeks, who's paying your electric bill? Who's going to pay your mortgage bill? I mean, just the basic things. We're not getting the investment stuff, just the basic things. So it's a good idea to keep that stuff in a secure place that if something happens to you, a power of attorney, a child, whoever it is, can know to access that. Same thing goes with your income. If you are earning a paycheck that's direct deposit, well, then you know it's probably hitting the checking account every 10 days, 2 weeks, whatever it is. But what if you are somebody who's employed and you get your check in a paper form and you have to go to the bank and deposit it? Think about those things. It may be something that comes in the mail and nobody's checking your mail and it's sitting there for days and days. So all of that, then it kind of involves into the bigger picture of your estate plan. Who's your attorney? Who's your CPA? Who's your financial advisor? Where's your will? Do you have a safety deposit box holding all of that stuff? These are the kinds of things that you need to talk about with your family, with your loved ones. You don't have to give every detail out, but you need to have somebody there that has this information so that if something does happen to you very, very suddenly, things can be picked up and helped out in that bridge until hopefully you're doing better. We had a situation we talked about some time ago about a young adult who, you know, getting into a car accident out of state. Mom and dad, if they don't have a power of attorney or whatever, how do they handle accessing medical information and whatnot? So it's kind of in that same vein of just having the information put together, accessible, that it's a conversation that, you know, everybody in the family understands. And the person who's going to be helping, make sure that person wants to do it, because you don't want to burden somebody with that, nor do you want somebody who takes it, says they'll take it on, and then they do a poor job of it. Then you're really up a creek.
Spend about 10% of the time you spend planning your next vacation. You'll have it knocked out completely. All right, we're going to have to take a quick break, come back. We're kind of running short of time. It's Your Money with David Hayes. Welcome back, everyone. Running kind of short of time, so this break's going to have to be a quickie. So I hope everyone enjoyed it. But Mary Beth Franklin, she used to be the senior editor of Kiplinger Magazine and then moved on to contributing editor of Investment News, written many, many things. So if you get a chance to Google Mary Beth Franklin, please do that before next week's show, and you'll see the power behind this guest. I'm looking forward to having her on, but also some other guests we're going to be lining up throughout the year. Of course, I'm going to try to continue to work on getting David McKnight back. We'll get Tom Hegna back. We'll get, of course, Ed Slott back. I'm going to be speaking at the Ed Slott Elite IRA Conference in May up in Indianapolis, so nervously, anxiously getting prepared for that. It's kind of weird, man, when you're talking about what you need to know to win in business, in community, and in family, and all the different things that kind of make a 30-year career happen. How easy it seems, but how hard and difficult it is to articulate, and I've been working on that. So hopefully we can turn that into something as well. So we're going to take another quick break, come back, and we'll wrap it up. It's Your Money with David Hayes. Welcome back, everyone. So, Jimmy, this weekend, weather's going to be spot on, correct?
Looks like spring has finally officially arrived. Nice weather, 70 degrees, game on.
You know, and I don't have a lot going on this weekend, but then after this weekend, I don't know that we have an open weekend.
You better just enjoy a quiet day or two.
I'm already lining up my fireworks for 4th of July 6th. The 6th of the 4th. Yeah, so getting that all squared away. So, yeah, I'm going to try to get my backyard rocking, ready to go for the summer. I'll be opening up the swimming pool probably, I don't know, in the next month or so. I don't think anybody's going to get in anytime soon except the dogs.
Yep.
They don't really care that the temperature, water temperature, and I'm not turning the heater on for the dogs. I don't care what my wife says. I'm not doing it because I'm not going to do it. If they want to get in cold water, they can get in it, and they're sport dogs like your dogs are. They don't care what the water temperature is. So I hope everyone has an outstanding weekend. Enjoy the weather and look forward to next week's program with Mary Beth Franklin. You're going to really enjoy it. We're going to have so much to talk about with her. It's going to make your head spin, but that's why we record it. So if you miss any of the show, Saturday mornings, 9 a.m., always on WGCLRadio.com. And, of course, after the Thursday night listening of the show, you can always catch it where you catch your favorite podcast. Well, have a great one, everyone. We'll talk to you next week. Bye-bye.
The preceding program was brought to you by Comprehensive Financial Consultants and CFCI, which is solely responsible for its content. Securities are offered through J.W. Cole Financial, member FINRA and SIPC. Investment advice offered through CFCI and J.W. Cole Advisors. J.W. Cole Financial, J.W. Cole Advisors, and CFCI are unaffiliated entities.